back, and we have with us Charlotte Thompson Iserby. And we're going to talk about more insanity and craziness in this government or whatever it is. I continue to point to, as Charlotte has for the better part of her life, education, or what they call education in this country, as being the prime tool of the mental, psychological, and spiritual destruction of our young people. The ruination of countless tens of millions of lives in these formerly United States. And it just gets worse and worse. If you look in guests and you look for Charlotte's name, you'll see it right there in the middle. You'll see something called competency-based education. Competency-based education. That's another good one. Welcome back, Charlotte.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. It's good to be on again, and I'm glad. I'm really happy that I could do this, and that I really just woke up at 11:01, and I slept for an hour and a half.
Oh, good.
So anyway, that should keep me going for a while.
You're doing fine.
Tired.
You sound great.
Yeah, I'm tired, but
we're all tired.
I know, and I must say, I'm the last person on earth your listeners to go to find out what's going on in the world, and so it's really nice of you, excuse me, to have me on. I can't stand reading my emails. I mean, I sometimes wonder what is going on in the world when people send me these emails. They're all about all about. We're still talking about Hillary's emails.
Oh, I know.
I mean. I can't believe what my emails look like. I guess everybody's probably looking like mine. They don't have anything to do with anything of importance. And I think I'm talking about, I do believe that the very good people who got behind Trump, they're having a hard time right now. And they won't admit they made the mistake. You're marvelous. I mean, you're true, clean, honest Jeff. I mean, you know, you supported him strongly and for very good reasons. You wondered why I was a little silent on that, but still I admire you because you were willing to say, looks like we've got big problems now.
Yeah, well, I tell it years ago. You remember Howard Cosell?
Yes.
Well, Howard, I had the chance to spend some time with Howard a couple times when I was starting out. And he took, one time he was kind of a fatherly guy, and he took me by the shoulder and he kind of turned me toward him and he says, Jeff, no matter what the price, no matter what the cost in this business, you've always got to tell it exactly like it really is.
That's right.
He's and I
right.
never forgot that. He was a nice man. Very
right.
smart
well,
man.
Well, you know, I think it was my father and mother, mainly my mother, who told me that. And you know what happens if you do? You end up not being very popular at times. And I'm quite unpopular. This is probably Charlotte's most unpopular year. You know, that people are really, they don't know what to do with me because...
They don't. And I don't want you for a moment to ever take criticism of you seriously. There is no grounds for it whatsoever. Your contributions so far eclipse anyone who would dare criticize you. It's laughable. So forget that.
Thank you very much. I mean, we all make mistakes.
Of course.
You get to a point where, I think, I'm really quite elderly, and I've gotten to a point where I don't have any... In fact, I really almost like to admit I've made a mistake.
Well, who hasn't? Come on.
I mean, why not? Why be... Life is... You've got to... Nobody goes through life not making mistakes. And
the
best thing about admitting you're making a mistake is it cleanses you so you can move on. And
you let it go. I screwed up. I'm mea culpa. I did it. All right. Big deal.
What do you do if you pour, you're making a souffle and you do it backwards? So I did that once, I think I'd had a drink or something, and I did the souffle backwards, and, you know, well, it was quite obvious I'd made a mistake, and everybody left, but I never forgot. You don't forget, and that's important, because then you move on, and you can be much more productive, and when Americans have got to realize they made a mistake, and it's understandable. I mean, if you only have two people to vote for, both of whom are, I mean, one of whom is a little bit better than the other, right? You vote for that one, I guess, because what do you do, vote for your dog or something? I mean, I thought I might vote for Montana, my dog, this time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just, I'm bewildered. The whole world is really such a mess that I have to agree with some of my friends who have moved away from politics and are beginning becoming or have been for years extremely religious, and they see probably what all of us should be looking at, which is we got to shape up a bit. We've got to admit again our mistakes. I mean, we can't go around the world, you know, thoughtlessly bombing and being ridiculously arrogant, even with the countries that are have always been very obnoxious. And we can't do that. That's not, it doesn't help. It doesn't help anyone. It just makes us look stupid.
Right. Absolutely correct. Sure.
I mean, look at the Middle East. I mean, people get after me that probably think I'm very pro-Arab, but I'm not. I'm simply saying that after all the years of the bad treatment that we've given the Middle East, I'm amazed that they haven't done terrible things to us before. And they have done terrible things to Germany and countries in Europe, and, you know, you can go back to the different incidents, you know, years ago in Germany, and Germany never did really big bad things to the Middle East, to the Arabs, and everybody else was getting sort of beat up on them. We didn't get beat up, and I used to think to myself, why don't they beat us up?
Uh-huh.
Well, we finally did get or did we, you know? Right. Mm-hmm. So everybody has reason to dislike American foreign policy across the board, and I am disgusted with it, and it's not something that you trivially, you know, design, you know, like tomorrow morning to get something out. You don't just say, I'm going to wait until tomorrow to make that decision. It has to be carefully made, and we've made big mistakes, and you have to try to get along with monsters. I'm more concerned about our foreign policy, I think, under Trump than anything else. And, you know, it bothers me. I think that there are so many diversions out there, you know, to keep us from looking at what's really important. And I may be wrong on this, but I think this big hype about Korea and China and Russia, this is, to me, diversion. It really is. Iran, I mean, I've been around so long that I've seen these foreign policy catastrophes in the past. They haven't turned into catastrophes, thank heavens, but they'll bring us right to the brink, see? And they get everybody really occupied so that they're not, there's the other little guy in the corner that's doing something really bad. Nobody pays attention to him. So anyway, as you can see, I'm quite confused about what's going on in the world. And
well, you aren't the only one. You are no. That's not a sign of anything unusual. Intelligent people would be confused. There's so much conflicting material running around. You just don't. I don't know what the hell's going on with these people. I read between the lines, and it's not good.
No. But we have, as far as these people, I think when we're dealing with these major nations that could be the ultimate end of all of us, right? If they have, if they decide to move, I don't think they're going to. They have too much to lose themselves. I've also felt for a long time that all the talk in regard to you know, prison camps and this and that and all, the Americans get all terrified. We're all going to have to. And I've got all the research, right, on Alaska, you know, that stuff. And I've been around so long that, you know, nothing, it doesn't seem to happen. And I say to people, look, please, you know, if you were involved in moving our country into a new world order or global government or whatever, and, you know, for money's sake, which is, of course, what it is, the elitists, et cetera, and you were so highly successful as they are, right? I mean, they've done a really good job, you know, ever since 1945. Mm-hmm. Why would you allow violence in the streets or anything to interrupt your highly successful operation, which is just smoothly going along? Why would they do that?
I don't know.
I mean, that would be pretty damn stupid.
Yes, it would.
So, but what's happened is that our good people, they allow the media and the alternative media, you know, to sort of push them in certain directions so that they won't keep their eye on the real ball.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask me what the real ball is, but I cannot tell you right now. But, you know, so that's probably, so anyway, I have, you know, last week you saw as well as I did, I was blown away by that Dutch bankers.
Oh, yeah.
Video.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And yes,
I need to pull that back up again. You see the way he spoke, and you got the sense that he's just sitting there telling the truth. He just opened up.
Oh yeah, you don't see anybody like that. And my family, a lot of it is European, and I have a sister-in-law in Holland, and I've got about four sisters-in-law left. My husband was Belgian, but she happens to live in Holland, and she's often, she gets a little upset with me. She thinks I'm kooky because I've been picking on the EU ever since I was 30 years old, which was a long time ago, when it was Common Market. I was right there when the Common Market was being created in Brussels, so I know what's going on. My husband knew what's going on, too, and so we'd visit, and we'd always, went before Maastricht, we were in France, and we told them not to, the day before the vote on Maastricht, we were all sitting eating in outside of Paris, and, you know, they asked us what we thought about Maastricht. We said, well, what do you think? How are you going to vote? And this is a conservative Catholic family, right? Nice people. Anyway, we asked them, and they said, oh, we're going to vote for it. And we said, what?
I know. That had to leave your jaw hanging.
Yeah. And then you know what they said? Well, yeah, you know why? You know, they're just as dumb as we are.
Wow.
They're just as dumb. They said, well, Charlotte, this is a beautiful place out in the country, the big, huge farm they have outside of Paris. And they said, well, the communists, they have these signs up in the farms that says, vote no. And we said, okay, right. So that's why you're voting yes?
Unbelievable.
And we said, just think, if you wanted to get people to vote yes, if you're a communist, you'd tell them, you know, you'd say you're voting no, right?
Yep.
So they vote yes. So anyway, they've never been that happy with our politics. But she, I sent that to her, that interview. So I like to sort of stick a little needle in them. I did get a really good response, so I was surprised. She said that she was very, really impressed, and that there were some things about it. She always has to say that, you know, some things I do question, but this was an incredible, incredible interview, and he was so obviously sincere, and he's been there. And I think now people should be focusing, to me, if there's anything more important than innocent children being tortured and body parts used and all, which he went into detail on this, but he was part of the small group of bankers at the top who are doing these evil things, I don't know if there is anything more important than that. Personally, you know, I leave Korea aside, China, and Putin. And I worry very much about that. I don't know how much
patience can that man have.
I don't know. You know, evidently he was tortured, wasn't he?
Putin. I mean,
Putin. You know what? He has a lot of patience. He's probably the most competent
on the world stage.
I think he's number one we've ever. We've ever come up against, but I don't trust him, you know. But I feel more comfortable with him.
Do you trust any of them?
No. But I feel comfortable with Putin.
Yes, absolutely.
He's not a fool.
No.
He's not, you know.
He's very steady, very straight, and solid as a rock.
Yeah, but I still think, you know, in 2 seconds he would, you know, he
if it serves his interest, he would make a strategic move to help solidify the security of his country and his people.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And we sure have given him every reason to do so. But anyway, I don't know. It's then of course, that thing, that issue about the children is upsetting. Maybe everybody's upset about that. I hope so. I can't sleep because I can't.
Which children issue are you talking about? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm talking about the abuse of the PETA, you know, the Pizzagate thing.
Oh God. Well, pedophilia is a worldwide, especially the Western world, ancient historical pastime for the the quasi-human, semi-human beasts that run around on this planet, especially the Muslim world.
Oh, yes. Oh, that comes out of there. Well, you know, the Muslims and the Jews are both Semitic, you know. It comes out, out of Israel, too.
That's you just said something that I have not heard anyone else but me say, that homosexuality or pedophilia is very common in Israel. It's a big secret. Especially in in the military.
I think that I saw it somewhere, which wasn't what you'd call a crazy website or anything, that most of it comes out of there.
Why do you think they own the porn industry? It's second nature to them. They know how to make it work.
And, you know, the thing is that we've got to be able to talk about these things and not be afraid to talk about it because... like Israel, let's talk about Israel. And I know the Arabs too. You know, I mean, I've lived around the world, and we have to call a spade a spade. You know, it doesn't mean we have this idea in the United States that if you look, it's the same thing as foreigners talking about us. You know, they say, "Well, I'm anti-American." Well, the people over there in Europe now, they're anti-American. And that doesn't mean that they're anti-all Americans. You know, and so if you say something bad about Israel, you're accused of hating all Jews. That's ridiculous.
It should go without saying that intelligent people do not lump everyone in any group together. There are always exceptions. It should be a given. We shouldn't even have to mention this.
Well, you just said it. It should be a given that you do not do that. And it isn't in this country.
No.
It isn't. Especially with this issue. It really aggravates me. And I have, golly day, you know, there are people in the Christian conservative movement, you know, really get... They don't know what to do with me because they know that some of my best friends that I've worked with in the past in the movement have been absolutely terrific, and they've been Jews. and I'm closer to them than those people are who get mad at me.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've been very close to several. And in fact, I put two of them are high up on my list as being the greatest, huh? In the areas that have concerned me, the greatest. And we've got to get over that. Until we do, we're not going to be able to discuss these issues.
You know, Charlotte, we're not going to get over it. You know why? Because the Bolshevik Zionists who plot all this crap don't want us to. They don't want us to criticize any of their kind. They do as a knee-jerk response, and we get condemned, we get smeared, we get vilified and called all the usual names in their lexicon, and they don't want it. They want us to always be careful, don't dare talk about any of them, or we're going to pay the price.
Well, it's quite obvious that is one specific religion or area or political movement that we aren't allowed to talk about, and that just makes me furious. Now, I'm Catholic, right? I'm traditional Catholic.
Yeah.
I don't get me on this Pope. Don't get me on Vatican II. I mean, I'm going to say far worse things about that than I have to say about Israel.
You got it. That look, institutionalized, talk about pedophilia. How about murder, rape, pillage?
I know.
You name it. For what? Almost 2,000 years?
I can get away with being Andy, whatever his name is, the Pope, huh? Yeah, I'm really, he's awful.
I'm sure that he came up through the ranks of pedophile popes.
Oh, yes.
They all do, through the priesthood and all the rest of it.
You know, I mean, when he poked his little head into the political arena.
Oh, obscene.
When he became Pope, the first thing I saw, because I like to minimize the importance of issues, you know, I like to see clearly what little thing is it about this man I don't like. And I wasn't very intellectual or scholarly about my objections to him.
Uh-huh.
I just said, well, why did he throw away the red shoes? You know, he got rid of his red shoes when they named him.
Right.
And everybody was like, look at me, who? And I said, yes, the first thing he did was throw away his red shoes, which are very traditional, you know, for a pope. They've worn them for I don't know how many hundreds of years, red shoes.
Hmm? Right.
So I thought, okay, that's it. That's tradition. Bing, throw away the red shoes. And he told us what he's doing. I was very clear what he's doing. I mean, a moron could understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just Israel. It's the Pope. It's Trump.
Hold on.
Who wrote that woman, you know, the big expert on education who was with American Principles down there. And so when I opened up my computer this morning, and that article was staring me in the face. I looked at it. I thought, is this for real?
Uh-huh. I know. It's crazy. Hold on a minute. We got to do a break. Hold on.
Yeah.
Come right back with Charlotte Iserbeed. So tell our listeners where we are now in terms of American educational competence.
Okay. We're so far down. Well,
doesn't even register on the scale anymore.
No. But the problem is that, you know, when we tell, they tell us that the European, I can't remember the name of that thing, what's it called? PISA, you know, the international ratings and all we're so bad there. Well, yeah, good. I'm really glad we're bad there because they are so much deeper into the, they may be a little bit more literate, but so
right.
much deeper into the stinking communist workforce training doo-doo that, good. Hey, American teachers, thank you. You're still fighting outcomes-based ed, aren't you? All right. Well, excuse me. Then we move. Outcomes-based ed, your listeners know, it's called performance-based ed, competency-based ed, results-based based, they kept changing the name whenever they got caught, right?
It's all exactly
with
right.
With this shift from what you know in your head,
yeah.
which we used to be educated for, to what you can do, how you can perform, what results you can get. Like, it's like total quality management. It goes with the system, the planning, programming, budgeting, management system. Everything has to be able to be measured completely, you know, and there's a certain outcome that you're looking for, because if you're going to make a car or something, you've got to have it exactly so. Right? So anyway, what recently happened, 2 days in a row, sort of, three, we find out that Heritage Foundation, which is my nemesis, right, they must it's so funny, Jeff. I mean, I write about them a lot. I don't exactly like them. I really detest them, and I have ever since they approved of Ronald Reagan signing the agreements with the Soviets and also drafted NAFTA. You know, they're just a rotten, hardly American organization.
That's right. That's correct.
I've been picking on them for a long time. And they have an affiliate. I don't know how many people know this, in every single state. That's terribly dangerous. It will have a different name. Well, you may not even know it's Heritage. The people in each state get their orders. I mean, Maine is so big with Heritage. Maine Heritage, just terrible. And, you know, Heritage is not only bad with pushing for the global workforce training and everything, and this been trying to beat up on me for years because I've gone up against... They didn't let anybody really know
right.
that they were beating up on me in every state. They were. I could feel it, and I knew it, because I went up against Skinner, because they have to have Skinner. You can't have workforce training without Pavlov Skinner. Everything has to be able to be measured. Skinner said that. He also said, I could make a pigeon a high achiever by reinforcing it on a proper schedule. Now, that isn't tell your listeners what... outcome-based ed is, and et cetera. And I've written about it so extensively, I bore myself to tears. So anyway, we find out Heritage Foundation have a little bit of a problem there. They had to get rid of, what's his name? Who was in there? He was really pretty good. I rather liked him. He sort of overhauled their website and all. They had to get rid of him. Heaven knows what he did wrong. But maybe he did something really good for us, huh? But they had to get rid of him, which is something that never is allowed to go public, but it did go public this week. And then they always send me all their emails. I get every day. I've never joined, but they send me everything. So I find out right away what they're doing. So then, they put Ed Fulner, who is my big nemesis, right, who has been with them for ancient, goes way back. He's temporary. He's Mr. Temporary. And so they haven't decided yet who they're going to put in there. Well, there's a big something going on there between the White House and Heritage. You know it, because, I mean, if anybody wants to know who, again, drafted the whole agenda for Donald Trump, it's Heritage. And they did the same thing for Reagan. Remember my article, Patriots or Manchurian?
Yes.
Well, we're just going through the same old thing. And so then all that happens. And then 2 days later, this article this morning, I thought, you saw it, the one by Jane Robbins of the American Principles Project. All of a sudden, and she's just, it's one of those major groups, like Heartland. Bast, who's the head of Heartland, wrote the book, what was it called? Something to do with, not what works, really. It was called, it's in favor of Skinner, right? Heartland, which is supposed to be a red, white, and blue conservative group like Heritage. And Pioneer and all the rest of them that have been fighting Common Core, the big boogeyman, right? Well, they put in the school choice with Betsy DeVos and all, right? But anyway, Joseph Bass up in Heartland wrote this book on the use of Skinner and how important it is. So we know, I've known when a neocon group like that can write a book recommending the use of Pavlov and Skinner, you know. So, but I kept thinking, well, that surprised me. But when Jane Robbins comes out, she's considered to be very credentialed. I think she's a lawyer, and she's been sort of heading up the anti-Common Core movement and going around the country. And she writes an article in The Federalist about all of a sudden she found out there's something called outcome-based education. And I looked at it, Jeff, I thought, huh? I mean, I thought, you know, I'm not reading this right.
Right.
She's the one they select to be the big expert on education.
Mm-hmm.
And her American Principles Project has never discussed Skinnerian outcome-based education, mastery, learning, performance-based, whatever you want to call it. They've totally ignored it. I've been writing about it for 35 years now. That shows that I really am insane. But just type in Isserbeed, outcome-based education, Skinner, and, you know, you'll run away from your computer. I mean, please. So I've been writing about it, but they would never, ever. That, you know, if you really want people to figure somebody doesn't exist, you don't react to them when they write articles like, I could make a picture of a high achiever, right? You don't react to Charlotte. She doesn't exist. So for 35 years or so, I really haven't existed amongst this crowd of neocons that unfortunately Donald Trump got his agenda from them, just like Ronald Reagan got his agenda from them.
Right.
Same thing. They're very, very important. And what I see here is, and Jeff has those, he has the Heritage article I wrote, the Big Bad Heritage article I wrote 3 days ago or something, or last week, and the one that I wrote today.
They're up. Yeah.
Are up there. But when you see, when you see something like that, where she's talking about, well, she said, outcome-based education, she just didn't realize. She didn't say, I didn't realize it was Skinner. She just said, we didn't realize it was this big bad method that, you know, denies the teachers the right to teach, so blah, blah, blah. But she did not identify it. She did not say why it was bad. She did not say, really, get into the, it was necessary for school to work, Soviet system, it's Pavlov, et cetera. She didn't, and I thought, well, you know, I got on the computer and I just, all things I'd written on it, you know, 5, 6, 7 things. And my whole book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, I was going through it, and I thought, wow, I'm pretty boring, Charlotte. All you do is write about outcomes-based ed, performance-based ed, results-based ed, competency-based ed. That's all I do. I'm really boring.
And no, yet, you're not boring at all.
Conservative movement decided they must have all gotten together in a room together, you know, Council for National Policy, years ago when I wrote Back to Basics, which was boycotted by all of them. All right, I said that in my article. You know, the gal at Eagle Forum, who was high up, said that they were really nasty. They said that I wrote that book because I was sour grapes, because I got fired.
Oh, really? Did they really? That's embarrassing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what they said. They said I wrote Back to Basics Reform or Skinnerian International Curriculum because I was sour grapes about getting fired.
What morons.
Well,
morons.
I got myself fired.
Yeah.
I saw a document, and I decided this can't stand this going out into the hinterland on technology, which said what we can control and manipulate at the local level with a computer. And I decided, okay, I'm going to leak this to Human Events. And I knew that I'd get fired. I was going to get fired for doing it. So I got all the other documents out, as you know, which a lot of them are in my book, at mainly
yes,
the
yes,
American
yes.
Deception.
Yeah.
And Then I got fired, but I fired myself. And but that was the thing. And then I mentioned the fact that at a Concerned Women of America conference in 1980-something, I was invited to speak there. And so I took a big box of Back to Basics Reform, Skinnerian International Curriculum, the little booklet, right? It's about 39 pages. I took it down with me because I was invited to speak. And Beverly LaHaye comes over and she says, "You can't sell that book here."
Come on.
Oh,
she
yes.
did?
I mean, that's in my article.
What a shrew. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read all of it.
Okay, but those quotes are in there. So they decided, the listeners out there better understand this, that these conservative leaders, the leadership, supports the Skinner method.
Uh-huh.
They do. And now think about it. Do you like that? I mean, do you think, are your children pigeons to be trained? Their children should be educated. You know, it's what they know in their head. It's not what they can do, how they can perform. The whole system of education right now, everybody talks about everything going on with restructuring and everything, but they never talk about that, the method. And the teachers hate it because, you know, they went to teachers college. They didn't do it to become, to train pigeons. And children like pigeons and dogs, so easy dog training. It's really very, very easy to understand anybody out there who has a dog. You know, if you want your dog to do something, sometimes, you know, right in the beginning we start training them. It'll take a little bit of time, but you just say, "Sit, Fido." And so Fido, you know, first time Fido doesn't sit. And, you know, even if you offer, if you offer him a goodie, he will sit. And so in the future, he will sit more frequently. So ultimately, he will sit every time. And it's really, it's very scary how it works because my dachshund, I hate to see that I've trained her that well because I can see that she's not thinking anymore about mommy. You know, I'm not going to let mommy do that to me. Well, I don't like to do it, but she gets in the road, you know. But they're doing the same thing with their children. And I discussed in the article Ann Herzer from Arizona, who was a gutsy teacher in the early 80s, who educated Charlotte about it. I knew nothing about this stuff. She was really onto it. She got done, you know, great research. And this is an interesting point. She was running for superintendent of schools in Arizona, and she got the nomination. The Republicans loved her and everything. She got the nomination. And then, you know what happened? The corporations found out that she was opposed to outcome-based education, mastery learning, direct instruction, Skinner. And they pulled the money from her. And Carolyn Warner got back in, the Democrat who, you know, that Ann actually was ready on her way to beat her, huh? So this is what happened. And it's the corporations that want it. And they want it because it's necessary for school to work.
Right.
And all I say is, back to basics reform or OBE, Skinnerian International Curriculum, and a little asterisk I put on the cover, right, necessary for United States participation in a one world socialist government plan for the early years of the 21st century. That was written in 1985. And the conservatives had a cow. And it was boycotted. Totally. And I knew that, but I found out today, I got my answers today, when I read that article by Jane Robbins. I mean, all of a sudden, it's become okay not to like outcomes-based education. But it's not okay to mention that it's Skinner, because she doesn't mention anywhere in that article that it's Skinner or Pavlov. She just, they're all of a sudden, they're saying that they can see the problems that I've been writing about for years in her and hers, or both of us. But it's quite a day, really, Jeff. I was thinking, I was stunned. And I hope people will go and read that article. I don't know what you gave it for a title.
Well, if you have trouble finding it, I put up a lot of news. Just go to the left side, look for Charlotte's columnist box. Her archive is all there.
I see it right here. This says, "Finally out of the closet."
Yeah.
Good. Whoever put that, is that you or is it
me?
Who did it?
Me did it.
Jeff Renz did it. Good. Competency-based education. That's what it's called. It's today, and it's in regard to Jane Robbins, who's with the, what is she with? The American Principles. That's a group. You know, it's one of the neocon groups. They have them all over the, they have about five or six major ones. They're all connected in a way. Heritage is the biggie, huh? So, I said the first sentence, I'm looking at, I feel truly, literally sick to my stomach. Jane Robbins article is 32 years too late. Did she really just found out that outcomes-based education is Skinnerian and Pavlovian performance-based education?
I kind of doubt it. How can anybody be that stupid and that that isolated?
Not possible. No. I had an email from a really nice gal who lives down there and defending her and saying, well, you know, you shouldn't get after her. What? I mean, she's considered, look, she's going around the country. She's a lawyer. She's very bright, and on a lot of stuff, she's super. But how, I mean, this was just so obvious to me that they put her up to doing this, because they've got to be against what's going in now, a little bit of it, right? Because nobody's going to believe them if they're not. But for heaven's sake, don't tell them it's Pavlov. And so anyway, I really did, I blew away on that one. And but it's good, because I wasn't able to do it before. I finally am able to say, bang, these people have been lying to you. Maybe she doesn't know. Maybe she's a brilliant education researcher and all, who just didn't happen to read anything I ever wrote. Huh? It could be. Could be. I'm not that important. But it's finally out of the box, the method. And that is so key, because you don't want it. That's why the teachers are mad. They had that method in England in the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
They had something called the same thing, outcomes-based, or payment for results, it was. Payment for results.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me?
Mm-hmm.
What's that? That's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
In England in 1870.
Yeah.
And so we don't want that. I mean, we want, and we've got to stop it. And if we stop it, then that stops the whole global workforce training, because they can't have the workforce training without it. And so it's a real identifier for workforce training. And there's Heritage. They've been supporting it all along. And every other conservative group I can think of, some have, don't talk about it. And that's sort of approval in silence.
Yes,
but
it
anyway,
is.
But anyway, that's enough. That's enough from Charlotte on that subject. It's simply, though, this morning I felt, well, you know, you can understand how pleased I was after 35 years of writing about something and nobody understanding what I'm talking about, because that doesn't exist, right? Mr. Spady, who's he, right? Who's Benjamin Bloom? Who's Thomas Stick? You know all these names, Jeff. Who are all these wretched people? James Block.
It finally oozed in the door.
Yes, and they've finally been, maybe people will stop and ask themselves if they really do believe their child is a pigeon.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a great title for your next little commentary.
Do you really think
your child is a pigeon?
God, yeah. So anyway,
or is your child
now
a pigeon?
The other components of this thing are, I mean, is a really good example. I think we're a pilot state. They always choose the smallest, you know, smallest, most conservative state in the country was selected way back. Well, I've got a little entry in my deliberate dumbing down. Augustus Thomas, who was the commissioner of education for Maine in the 1920s, right? He's giving a speech up in Montreal calling for world government, basically. So Maine has always been, we had Common Core in Maine in 1989. Hello,
folks. Wow, that's way out there. That's
yeah,
amazing.
We did. And you know what? You know what it said on the back of the booklet? Maine's Common Core is being used in 9 foreign countries. All right. And so we've had Jeb Bush's, FEE, education charter school thing. His bandwagon has come into Maine, and our wonderful conservative governor has embraced all of Heritage Foundation's initiatives. Heritage Foundation, by the way, is very pro-regional government also, and they pretend to be American. And really, they're not. They're totally against the U.S. Constitution.
So many of these think tanks are. So many of them are.
Well, you know what? They're just as bad as Carnegie now.
I think
Carnegie has turned over sort of the leadership. Certainly, Carnegie's still deep in the doo-doo with, Mark Tucker and all on education, but they're working very closely together. You know, the two wings of the CFR, of the bird, the CFR bird, the left wing and the right wing. I mean, it's like, what's his name? Tragedy and Hope.
I can't remember.
Chisholm.
Chisholm, yeah. Haven't heard that name in years.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Who wrote Tragedy and Hope. But anyway, he told us in that great, I have an original copy of that, but on page 1200 or something, he said that the industrialists got together in the late 1800s and decided that, both parties have to be the same at the top. So you go to the polls.
Carol Quigley.
Oh, yeah, Carol Quigley. And I did take a 2-hour nap before you called me.
That's good.
My brain is still not awake yet.
No, you're doing better on half a brain than most people do on three quarters.
So I do have half a brain. Thank you.
I don't care what they say.
But anyway, so what we've got are these tax-exempt foundations again, which Norman Dodd talked about. And then I list all the greats who are no longer with us in that article,
right,
including Norman Dodd and some wonderful, wonderful Americans. None of their works have been read because they've been boycotted by the media 100%. And then I've listed the ones who are currently working and doing great, like Dennis Cotty and other people who are doing some super work now.
Writing good stuff.
Yeah. These people are boycotted. Charlotte's not the only one who gets boycotted, right? Okay, so this is what your listeners have got to understand. I hope they will read that article because finally I think we have the proof that if a so-called truly conservative organization, all of them for that matter, can ignore the method used on your children to teach them in the schools for 35 years and boycott every single book or pamphlet that any individual has written on the subject, you've got to know something is very wrong with those groups.
The bottom line is
we don't have any groups to go to. Stay away from the groups and do not give any money to any group
unless it's maybe
a little knitting group down the road with old ladies. So don't do it.
No.
Hold on to your money and give money to people like Jeff and the radio stations that are still telling the truth and just don't.
Well, you're very sweet. Thank you. It's true. You shouldn't be donating money to any group anymore. Those days are over. Unless you're on the board of directors or something and you've got an ulterior motive. It's so bad. It's all a scam. Most all of them are scam organizations. There's some good ones, but not many.
It's awful. I mean, they even take advantage of really serious issues.
They take advantage of everything.
I can't, I'm so naive.
They're criminal organizations. They're shakedown artists. That's what they are.
I know, but how can you use children to make money off
of them? Oh, I know. How can you? How can the Muslims covet 10-year-old boys above all others? Come on, how does that happen? This is an imponderable society and an imponderable species, and we're in trouble, big trouble.
Well, we're in major trouble. I wish that Donald Trump and Sessions and the FBI, what I would like them to do is to raid Congress round up probably a good percentage of people right there who are involved in this stuff. And, wouldn't it be great? It's a lot harder to get them out of office voting for them. I mean, if we could just have a raid on Congress.
I think we need a very large tsunami. Anyway, thank you, dear.
Well,
go get some sleep.
Well, you're very nice to put up with me tonight because I'm probably rambling around and I am tired and I love all your listeners and
they're good people.
Wish them well and you know, just think for yourself.
There you go. That summed it up. Perfect. Think for yourself.
Yeah. Think for
Amen.
Yourself.
Amen.
Okay. God bless the children.
Yes, let's not forget that. Thank
all
you, Charlotte.
All around the world, the children. Okay?
That's it. You bet.
Okay.
Thanks,
God
dear.
God bless you.
Thank
okay.
you. Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Night. Charlotte Iserbeet, the one and only. And we will be back.